Jesus bursts onto the scene today in the Gospel of Mark, and we hear the very first words spoken by Jesus in the Gospel. We hear him proclaiming, and we see him searching. He's proclaiming that this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. And he's searching. He's searching for those whom he will call close to himself and with whom he will share in this great act of salvation, whom he will entrust the church to. He's searching for these disciples of his. But what is he searching for as he looks for them? He's certainly not. This is one thing he's not searching for. He's not looking for those who are super qualified. If Jesus were looking for those who were super qualified, he probably wouldn't have been looking on the Sea of Galilee and chose these four fishermen. These were simple men who had a simple and direct livelihood. They'd go out into the sea and they'd fish. They'd come back and they'd sell their fish, they'd mend their nets, and they'd go out the next day. These are not the most qualified. They aren't the people who you would choose to entrust the church to. He's not searching in them, and he's not searching in you for the super qualified. What Jesus is going about searching for, though, is he's looking for hearts that are willing. Hearts that are willing to hear him and to follow. You know, when people speak to those who are thinking about the priesthood or religious life, they'll often start with the wrong question. People will say, is God calling me to this life? Is God calling me to be a priest? Is God calling me to be a religious sister? That's not the right question, actually. That shouldn't be the first question. The first question is actually something which gets much more to the heart of what Jesus is searching for. It's, am I willing? If Jesus called me, would I go? Do I have a willing heart? Because if I have all these other gifts and talents, if I have everything else that would make an amazing priest or an amazing disciple of Jesus Christ, if I don't have a willing heart, one which is willing to follow him when and where he calls, then there's nothing Jesus is going to be able to do with all the rest of it. It's a heart that's willing to be taught the ways of the Lord, which being taught the ways of the Lord means so often unlearning the ways of the world. The ways of the world, which is coming to an end, as we heard in the second reading. The ways in which the world understands what victory is. The ways in the world in which the world understands what freedom is. The ways of Jesus Christ and the ways of God are so radically different from those. And he asks and is seeking after those who are willing to continually, as his disciples, be repenting and believing in the gospel. That's not just a one-time thing, but it's continuous repentance and coming back and believing in the gospel. In the prophet Jonah, whom we see a little bit of in the first reading today, the prophet Jonah, the whole story is about his willingness, or rather his unwillingness, to do what God was calling him to do. You remember, right? Jonah hated the Ninevites. That's even an understatement. He despised the Ninevites. He wanted them destroyed. And so God had called him to go and to preach repentance to him. And you remember what he did initially, right? He went the exact other way.
And then eventually he's out on the sea. He's swallowed in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, representing his death. And he's spit back out into the shore. And then he goes with what we see today, and he preaches repentance to them. And they do it. They repent. And then he's angry, because in his heart of hearts, he wanted them destroyed. His will and God's will were different, and they were on different pages, but God wanted a heart that was willing. And this is the whole drama of Jonah. But why God, through Jesus Christ, comes and preaches right at the beginning repentance and belief in the gospel is because that's what helps us learn and enter into the freedom of living in the kingdom of God. That the idea of victory which the world has is not our own. This is what Christian victory looks like. And oftentimes that's really hard to recognize, because in our minds we have this idea of what victory means is to conquer the other. That we win. And it's so clear cut that everyone can see it. But when God calls us, and where there's victory in our Christian discipleship, in our Christian life, it's going to look like that. And that doesn't always look like victory in our eyes. It doesn't. But it is. Because that's the repentance in light and in the shadow of the cross, which gives us a freedom as Christians. But here's the thing, is the world's idea of freedom is about this big. It's about this big. And so we oftentimes work within that little idea of freedom. And we become then prisoners of the moment. We become victims of the present moment instead of free men and women of the kingdom of God, in which freedom is burst open. And what does that look like, living that in our time? No one, everyone, there's not a single person, there's no government, there's no president, there's no law that can prevent you from growing in holiness, growing close to Jesus Christ and becoming his disciple and knowing him. There's nothing that can prevent you from doing that. There's also no one and nothing that can make you do that either. It's only your willingness. There is no one, not a single person, not a single law that could ever be made which can prevent you from being a better mom, from being a better dad, from getting off of social media and the internet and spending that time instead loving your family, being with your family. There's no government official or law that can prevent you from doing that, but there's also nothing that can make you do that either. It's only the willingness of a heart. There's no one that can prevent you from loving your enemies, from blessing them and not cursing them. But there's also no one who can make you do that either. It's the willingness of the heart that Jesus is searching after in his disciples, and he's searching after that in you and me too. And those words, the first of his that we hear in the Gospel of Mark, he speaks them to you. And he speaks them to you today. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A letter to the faithful Catholics of the Diocese of Bismarck from our Bishop David D. Kagan. Dear friends in Christ, I write to you on a matter of greatest importance and urgency. You have read or heard that a bill has been introduced
in the North Dakota Senate, which would force every Catholic priest to violate the seal of confession. It is SB 2180. As Catholics, we know that this is simply not possible for any priest to do, no matter what the reason may be, and most especially, no priest may reveal anything he hears in confession, and he may not identify any person who comes to confession. What is equally bad about this bill is that it makes the state of North Dakota, and not our beloved Catholic Church, the moderator of our faith in our sacramental life. If this bill passes, it will have a direct impact on every Catholic in the state. If this bill passes, it will impede directly on our exercise of our religious beliefs and practices. If this bill passes, the result will be that it discriminates against the Catholic Church and other religious denominations in our state. To abolish the clergy exemption of mandatory reporter law without including other such confidential relationships, such as attorney-client privilege, is unjust and does discriminate. The best course of action is not to change this law at all. I ask you to contact your state senator and tell him or her to vote no on SB 2180. Please contact your senator at the Senate Message Center or contact your senator by phone or by email. Please do so today, as this is one good and effective way for all of us to defend our faith and our Catholic life. Let us continue to pray for our elected officials that they will act with wisdom and prudence in all that they do in representing us, so that they will promote the common good for all and not harm the common good. Sincerely yours in Christ, the Most Reverend David D. Kagan, Bishop of Bismarck. Just a word about this. Will a priest ever reveal anything that is said behind the seal of confession? Absolutely not. There's no priest that I know of in the entire state who would ever reveal anything from confession, and we would go to prison before we would. Now, would time in prison make us holier priests? Probably. It probably would. Would you seeing your priests begin to go to prison make you holier? Would that draw you closer to Jesus Christ? It might. I hope it would. Should it take something like that for us to grow in holiness? No. Should we oppose this bill? Absolutely. So the last couple questions for you to answer. Do you know who your local state reps here in Dickinson are and how to contact them? Are you willing to do so? And lastly, should we live in fear like the world, or to live in the fullness of our Christian freedom, free even to bless those who persecute us and to pray for them?